Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday afternoon. Doors open, Milwaukee. Knock, knock is this Saturday and Sunday. It's now in its third year, obviously been very successful. Over 130 buildings will be open to the public, and owners have been invited to open their doors, and then you'll see, you know, some of their buildings. Whatever they would like to showcase, visitors will decide what they'd like to see. And there are many in-depth tours of treasures in downtown Milwaukee. We have George Wagner with us. This was George's idea, so you got to give somebody who's got a great idea credit. He's a retired Milwaukee librarian. He went to Denver several years ago to investigate its Doors Open program, and he was convinced that Milwaukee could do the same, and so he got the fire going, and it's burning brightly, and he is with us this hour, as is John Gerda, Milwaukee historian and writer who's been studying this city since 1972. He's the author of 19 books, including The Making of Milwaukee, the first feature length history of the community, published since 1948, and both of these gentlemen have been with us on many occasions. We're welcoming phone calls about great Milwaukee places. 800-486-8655 is our number. Our email is talk@wpr.org, and our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Look what you got started, George. It's wildly successful, isn't it?
Well, it's taken off nicely. Yeah, we're very happy with it. Historic Milwaukee Incorporated, which is the nonprofit that basically sponsors and presents the program, was interested in broadening the number of people that are interested in history and architecture and the built environment. And although a lot of people come into downtown Milwaukee and go to other places in Milwaukee for different kinds of events, or they go to restaurants or festivals, a lot of times they walk past a lot of these gems that are in our community, and they've never been in them. There's not a sense of being an inviting kind of a thing for people to come in. And so what Doors Open programs try to do is to make it apparent to the public that there's one weekend a year when all these buildings, many of which you've wondered about all your lives, what goes on inside them, this is a chance for you to come and see them all for free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. And you have written about, both of you have actually, the huge number of people who have moved to downtown Milwaukee in the last 10 years or so, partially, I would think, because of what George just said, that you like to stroll among these buildings and also eat at nice places and go to the museums, etc. But there's something about the architecture and the buildings here that is drawing people.
And I think it's part of a national trend, Kathleen, that people want to be, they want to be with the buzz. And they want to be where the energy is.
Right.
And Milwaukee's downtown has an awful lot of the energy. But the Doors Open event is not just downtown. So it's near north, near south, and near west as well. And maybe to echo what George said, I think one of its real virtues is that for most of us, as we go about our rounds, the built environment is kind of architectural wallpaper. And during Doors Open, it takes on a third, even a fourth dimension. You see, there really is, you know, an amazing treasure trove of buildings here, all of them with stories.
Mm-hmm.
And to get behind those stories, I think, is a rare opportunity, a lot of fun. It's also a lot of fun just on a quiet Saturday or Sunday normally to walk downtown and in some of the neighborhoods as well and see foot traffic, see all these people, mm-hmm. you know, who are out enjoying their city, whether you're suburban, exurban, outstate. You know, this is Wisconsin City.
And some of them aren't even buildings. You wrote a terrific article about the bike trail, the new bike trail. And one of the events that I thought sounded really neat is you can bike and find out about this brand new park and bike trail and the whole history, which goes way back.
Yeah, Three Bridges Park begins in the Mitchell Domes parking lot and goes all the way out to the new Urban Ecology Center at around 37th Street. And it's, by definition, Milwaukee's newest park and kind of symbolizes the greening of the valley. And getting a firsthand look at that with Melissa Cook, who's the director of the Hank Aaron State Trail, I think is something that shouldn't be missed.
Yeah. When you started this, George, did you have any idea how many people were going to show up?
Well, we were hoping for about 7,000 or 8,000 the first year, and we exceeded that by a few thousand. And then last year, it grew to about 15,000 visitors with 75,000 individual building visits. So it seems to be an event that continues to grow, and we hope that it will. And it's also nice to know that there are some other Wisconsin communities who have either started or are considering starting a similar event. Toronto, which was the first city in North America to start this Doors Open concept, their first Doors Open, which happened in 2000, was so successful that the province of Ontario, a couple of years later, decided to promote it to different cities within Ontario. And today in Ontario, there's over 30 communities that have a Doors Open program going on. And here in Wisconsin, Wauwatosa held one earlier in May, and I think Watertown is going to be doing one soon. And yesterday I was just speaking with somebody from Madison, and they're starting to plan one for about a year and a half from now, in the spring of 2015. And interestingly, the young woman who I talked to yesterday about it from Madison, who's working on it, said that she came to the Milwaukee event last year with her family. And she said she could never get her father to go to like a historic building. He's not interested in history at all. But boy, was he interested in seeing the insides and what goes on in some of these places, a place like the Brass Light Gallery, which actually does a lot of work in restoring old fixtures and actually electroplating different things. And so he was interested in some of those manufacturing processes. And so we have a lot of those kinds of buildings, too. It's not just old buildings of historic value. It's also new buildings of interesting architectural value, as well as what's going on inside those buildings.
Yeah. Like the Milwaukee Bucks locker room.
The Milwaukee Bucks locker room, that's right. Bring a clothespin, right.
You get to go to the Milwaukee Bucks locker room.
And I'm not sure if they're doing it this year, but I know the Bradley Center, well, now it's the BMO Harris Bradley Center, is going to be open again, and it's always been a favorite for kids. And I should mention to people that it's a great event for children. Out of the 130 buildings that are open, we've designated 24 of them as kids' passport sites. And so they get a little passport that they can get stamped at the different buildings that they visit. And the Bradley Center is definitely one of them that kids really enjoy a lot for the reason that John said, going into the Bucks locker room and maybe even getting a chance to ride in the Zamboni machine.
Oh.
But then there are things, boy, talk about new kid-friendly, the W.K. Walthers, model railroading, wholesale house, the biggest in North America the world. It's up the northwest side.
Oh.
And they supply, not many people know that, between Kalmbach and Walthers, Milwaukee is a world center of model railroading. And this is a chance to see the layout and all the stuff.
They actually manufacture some of their own equipment. You know,
That's fun.
The little trains. That's so, fun. We think that's going to be a real popular site for kids and adults.
Well, at the risk of wanting to be real historical, let's talk about some of those really old buildings, if you don't mind, George. But there are a number of them. When I was reading, when some of these buildings were built, there were a lot of in the 1890s, it seems to me, in Milwaukee. I didn't realize some of the buildings were as old as they are, but those are gorgeous. Some of them are their schools, they're all kinds of different buildings. I didn't realize they were that old.
And you have cherished landmarks like a City Hall, Pabst Theater, both of which are 1895.
Wow.
You've got buildings going back to the 1870s in some cases. When's the old bank building on?
1858.
Which one is that?
That's on that would be the northeast corner. Northeast corner of Water and Michigan.
Right across from the Mitchell Building.
Yeah.
It's a four-story limestone building, but it was the first large commercial stone building that was put up in Milwaukee. And if you can imagine, most of the other buildings in Milwaukee at that time were wood frame buildings of one or two stories. And when this went up in 1858, it was kind of a big deal, you know.
It was a skyscraper?
Yeah, well, it was
relatively
four stories.
But that whole kind of it's about a whole square block between the Mitchell Building, which is historic Milwaukee's home. Right next door is the Mackey Building, the Grain Exchange, the Loyalty Building, which is Northwestern Mutual's former home office.
All of those are going to be open.
Bank, and they're adjoining.
Yeah.
So you really get kind of a quartet of great buildings right there.
The Loyalty Building, which started after the Newhall House, which was one of Milwaukee's big hotels early on, started in the late 1850s, burned down in, I think, 1883. And so the Loyalty went up after that, and that became Northwestern Mutual's second home. in Milwaukee. And one of the stories that I've heard, I don't know how apocryphal it is, but I like it, so I like to tell it, is that before the current restoration of the place into Hilton Garden Inn, which just happened, and they're going to be open for the event, there was a fire apparently between that building and the building just to the north, a smaller building. And when the firemen were kind of breaking down the walls in order to try to put the fire out, they noticed that there was actually a door that was in that wall that connected to the building next door. And when historians investigated it further, they found out that that door led to something called the Marble Hall, which was a den of prostitution and gambling. So I'm not sure. I don't want to say that the people who ran the insurance company were doing something, you know, that they shouldn't be doing. But, you know, nice, interesting little piece of history.
I can confirm, George, that Henry Palmer, who was the president of Northwestern Mutual at the time, every day he slipped out of his office in the afternoon for one glass of whiskey neat.
Well, that's okay.
Maybe it was Marble Hall. Maybe it was someplace else down the street.
That's a great story, George. I didn't realize the background. I've been there before. It's an incredible place. Is it the Basilica of St. Joseph at, where they got the materials for that building? Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. I was on that board for 21 years.
Were you?
And it was a lot of fun. But we've been calling it the greenest building in Wisconsin because it's all reused materials. And the story is the parish goes back to 1888, and they outgrew their first building, or one burned down, and they outgrew their second. And at the time, the parish had about 12,000 members, which was the biggest congregation of any faith in the entire state. So trying to save the parish money, the parish priest, whose name was Wilhelm Grütze, went down to Chicago to buy bricks. It's supposed to be a brick building, and he found out they were tearing down the post office and custom house. So he bought the whole thing for, I think, $30,000, took 500 flat cars to ship it up to 6th and Lincoln. And the architect didn't blink, Erhard Brielmeier, who is the Calvary Cemetery Chapel.
Which is also going to be open.
Also going to be on the tour on Saturday. He just changed his plans, and they designed or built this kind of scaled-down version of St. Peter's in Rome. But it's recycled.
Isn't that something? It's quite a place. Quite a place. Are there a lot of churches?
There are a lot of churches. I think there's about 15 churches that are in the tour this year. So, and most of them are 19th century churches, and many of them are in the downtown and near downtown area. So the oldest religious congregation in Milwaukee, Emmanuel Presbyterian, that church is going to be in it. That was built a little later, you know, like I think in the 1880s and 1890s. Yeah.
They go back to 1837.
Mm-hmm. But they have a lot of these churches, like Emmanuel, another one, Plymouth, have beautiful Tiffany glass windows in it, you know, that people can admire. And a lot of the churches are doing special things on those days also, like, you know, maybe having organ concerts. Mm. I know there's a Michael Mass celebration at All Saints Episcopal Cathedral on that weekend. So lots of interesting things.
Yeah, St. Paul's Episcopal. I think they have the largest Tiffany ever made.
St.
Do
Paul's,
they really?
I think it's St. Paul's.
Paul's Episcopal.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Huh. Which is on, what is that? Is that Astor?
I think so.
You're right.
Yeah.
Just kind of behind the Knickerbocker.
And I should mention to people that if they're interested in this program, they can go to our website, which is doorsopenmilwaukee.org, and get all the information on there. If they received the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this past Sunday, they may not have noticed that there is an event guide tucked inside the ads in the paper. They can also go online to that doorsopenmilwaukee.org and actually print off a PDF copy of it. And at almost all of the sites that are going to be open, again, this is a totally free event. You can start anywhere. You don't have to go to on a particular itinerary or anything like that, but there are going to be event guides at practically all of the locations also. And if you're wondering where to start, City Hall is always a good option.
Yeah, City Hall is great. And you can go up in the tower, too, can't you?
You can. That's going to be one of our ticketed tours. We have a few ticketed tours. It's a bit confusing because we have these 130 buildings that you don't need any tickets for. About two-thirds of them are open on both days, Saturday and Sunday, and the other days are just open on Saturday or Sunday.
Uh-huh.
But with a guide, you know, it's easy to tell what's open and what isn't on a particular day. But aside from those 130 free buildings that are open to anybody, there's also about five or six public tours that you do need tickets for. And for most of those, you have to go to City Hall on the day of the tour in order to get them. And one of them is, like you mentioned, the City Hall Bell Tower Tour, which has been a favorite of many people over the last couple of years. So other ones that that you need tours for are another great favorite is the Jones Island Water Treatment Plant. So we can all find out where our stuff goes.
It was a sellout or a give-out.
Why?
And they're giving 5 pounds of Milorganite to everybody who comes.
Are you serious?
That's
really?
Right.
True. Yep. People walked out of there with bags of Milorganite.
You just doubled the audience for that one.
Let's say that word free again.
Isn't it the truth? What you need to do is get everybody to say knock-knock jokes. Wouldn't that be fun to all the guides to have? And then collect all the knock-knock jokes. That'd be a fun
idea. That would be good. I should finally mention that there are about 40 other tours, some of them given multiple times, for Historic Milwaukee members. And people will be able to join Historic Milwaukee on that day. There's a little store a couple blocks from City Hall called Urban Milwaukee where they can purchase a membership, which then would entitle them to 4 free tickets to these more in-depth tours. Although I should mention that many of the tours and many of the buildings are rather in-depth as well.
Yeah. We welcome phone calls if you'd like to join our conversation. If you have any questions about the Doors Open Milwaukee Saturday or Sunday, or if there are certain buildings that you've always wondered what the history is of the buildings, these are the guys who can answer those questions. Or if there's a building that you really love and admire, your favorite spot in Milwaukee, we'd like to hear from you as well. Here's how you reach us, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org, and our Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Doors Open Milwaukee this Saturday and Sunday. Over 130 buildings open to the public. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. John Gerda, Milwaukee historian and writer who has been studying this city for many years, is with us. And George Wagner, who had the idea of bringing this event, Doors Open Milwaukee, to Milwaukee, is with us. He is a retired Milwaukee librarian. Central Library is one of my favorite places. George worked there. We'll talk about that during the remainder of our time. Let's go to Pat in Madison. Hi, Pat.
Hello.
Hi.
Sorry. I grew up in Bayview, and I just love Milwaukee. And I'm curious about what might be open in Bayview, and also, is the water tower on 6th and Howard on the tour?
I don't believe the water tower.
No, it is not.
Is the Town of Lake?
That would be a good addition, and We have tried to get it in the past. But there's many buildings. A lot of times, every year, we asked people in a survey, you know, what they thought of the event and if they had any suggestions for the future and other buildings they'd like to see added. Oftentimes, the suggestions that come in are things that we have thought of and we've tried to get. And I'm not sure why they're not in it this year. In terms of other buildings in Bayview, there's some that are close to Bayview. The UWM School of Freshwater Sciences is going to be in it this year. There are several in the Walker's Point area. Among them, the Milwaukee Ballet headquarters, and that's another Kids Passport site. That's in the old Schlitz Palm Gardens, Tivoli Gardens, over on 6th and National. I don't think that there's – I'm trying to remember.
I don't see on the list either, George.
Bayview. Yeah.
Bayview is really the up-and-coming place, isn't it? It has had a great resurgence the last few years.
Yeah, I've lived there for 34 years, and when my kids were in high school, they said, why can't we be in the east side? That's the cool place. Uh-huh. Now all their friends are living in Bayview.
Right. Right. Let's talk a little more about that freshwater science building. There's a lot of construction going on there now, too, isn't
there? They're expanding it, yeah, by a healthy measure. And that building actually goes back to the 1960s when the Allen Bradley Company, a rather eccentric president, Fred Look, ran the company at the time. And he thought they should diversify into architectural tile. So they're making motor controls, and here they are saying, let's make some tile. So you got this great building. And because you have extremely heavy clay that they're using, the floors could, you know, they could land a bomber. You know, they're just built to last. So they got out of that business, lost money on it, and ended up selling or almost giving the building to UWM for the Freshwater Sciences School. And that has grown as Milwaukee has.
It's going to be really big, isn't
yep,
it?
Yep, sure has. And along with that, Kathleen, and this was not on last year's tour because it didn't exist, you have the Global Water Center at 24/7 Freshwater Way, which is the old Pittsburgh Avenue. And that's the incubator and the head of the Water Council, so that a lot of things are happening.
Thanks, Pat, for the call. Let's go to Don in Gays Mills. Hi, Don.
Hi there. I live clear across the state, but I'm going to try really hard to make it. My question was, is the Warner, the old Art Deco Warner Theater right downtown, is that still there? It's been closed for a while. Is that on the tour?
We wish it were. We've tried for a few years to get it on, but unfortunately it's still in pretty rough shape on the inside. Mm. It's not going to be on the tour. However, we do have some other theaters that are going to be on the tour. So if your interest is theaters, you might want to check some of those out.
Among them is the Riverside, which was the largest vaudeville house in the entire state of Wisconsin, and then became a movie theater. And that's a very elegant performance space.
Is. And the Oriental's on the list, too, isn't it?
The Oriental is a specialty tour. You have to have gotten a ticket for it if you're a HMI member.
I see. Is the Warner the one right down here from near where we are?
The Warner is on between 3rd and 4th Street.
I think it's 3rd and 4th, is it?
So it's right, down there.
Yeah.
I wish they'd do something with that building.
Well, I believe it's owned by Marcus, and I think that they do have plans for it eventually, but I don't know if they've been able to figure out the financing and things for it. It is a wonderful building on the inside. Apparently, I've not been in it for many years, but apparently it still needs a lot of work in order for it to get up to snuff where they could actually open it to the public.
Mm. But at least it has not been denatured. It is capable of being restored.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, sure. Don. Goodbye.
Okay.
Goodbye. Wayne in Two Rivers. Our number, by the way, is 800-486-8655. Hi, Wayne.
Hi. I'm kind of up here. We're away from Milwaukee, but it's only like an hour and a quarter away, and we were planning, well, I'm telling my wife we're going to do something special this weekend. Would you have a list of, or some place where I can find all of these things that are on the tours?
Yes, if you go to our website, which is Doors Open Milwaukee.
Doors Open Milwaukee, okay.
.org.
.org,
right.
And you'll find descriptions of all the buildings as well as a one-page list of all the buildings and other architectural
sites. Is that old church on Van Buren up by the Northwestern Mutual? Is that going to be on the...
Plymouth Church is? Yes, it is.
Oh, that'll be fantastic. Thank you very much.
Which church are you referring to? Do you know?
Plymouth on Van Buren. That's now the Scottish Rite.
The old temple. Plymouth Church.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, maybe that's what he was referring to. Okay, that is on Van Buren, right? Yeah.
All right, Wayne. Wayne's on his way with his wife. They're going to have a good time. I can tell he's got the right attitude. Feel free to join our conversation, 800-486-8655. I really do think one of my favorite buildings downtown is the Central Library. It's such a beautiful building, isn't it, George?
It is. I worked there for many years, and they did a terrific job in restoring it over the last 25 years. And they give great tours. There's a wonderful dome in the front of the building that goes up, I think, 150 feet. And it's people will be able to take tours inside the dome. There's also a green roof tour that they give, a rare books room tour. You can go down into the bowels of the library, so to speak, into one of the book tiers, because what you just see, what the public usually sees on the first and second floor, is only a small percentage of all the materials the library holds.
Hmm. And George's bailiwick for many years was the humanities room, the Zeidler Humanities Room, named for Frank Zeidler. And if you want to know anything about Milwaukee's history, that is one of the must places you have to go. And a lot of the information in this insert and all the building research was dependent on materials there. George is a really good humanities librarian.
And you've spent a lot of
You were a really good patron there, too.
I'll bet he was.
But you've got to live there doing some projects.
I would imagine. You spent a lot of time there. Charles Alice Art Museum. I haven't been there in a long time, but that's a beautiful spot.
It is, and it was the home of Charles Alice, who was one of Milwaukee's leading industrialists. And today it's a small, very intimate art museum with a lot of very nice 19th century works. And that's going to be one of the small museums that's open. There's a number of small museums that I think that Doors Open is attractive to, because, you know, a lot of the larger museums, many of which are going to be involved in Doors Open, as well as like the Milwaukee Art Museum or Milwaukee Public Museum, which is going to be offering like a couple free planetarium tours each day. Mm. The Milwaukee Art Museum will be giving, docent-led tours of the Calatrava edition. Some of those museums you still have to pay to get in to see the regular collection. But on a day when there's so much to see in the city, you don't necessarily want to spend 3 hours in a museum anyway. Mm-hmm. But some of the small museums, like the Jewish Museum of Milwaukee, mm-hmm. the new Chudnow Museum, which just opened up last year.
Tell me more about that. I haven't been there.
Well, the Chudnow Museum is actually a smaller house, but each of the rooms is decorated and has artifacts in it depicting different kinds of things in Milwaukee's history, like a small drugstore, for instance. Oh. And so it was really kind of put together, and it's right basically on the Marquette University campus.
Mm. That's one I want to see. Never been there.
You haven't been there?
No.
You of all people. You've been everywhere.
I guess missed a lot.
The other place I've not been in, and I'm interested in where else you can find Frank Lloyd Wright buildings in Milwaukee, the Frank Lloyd Wright American System Built Home Model B1.
Right. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, it's down there on Layton Boulevard or 27th Street in Burnham. And that was Wright's attempt to put his designs within reach of the average person, not these wealthy clients. And it just so happens Milwaukee has a whole block of Wright-designed homes, single families and duplexes on the north side of the street there. And the Wright Foundation purchased one of the single families probably 4 or 5 years ago at this point, restored it completely. And part of that was student-led both research and work itself. And it's just a wonderful kind of a resurrection of a unique style. What Wright hoped was that it would become kind of what the ranch house became, the universal type that people would gravitate to, and it turned out to be that was a relatively smaller, self-selected population, but a wonderful application of not prefab, but pre-cut. It's standard dimensions, so relatively easy to build, lower cost, you know, than his more custom homes.
Hmm. That was a really popular site last year.
I imagine.
We had it in for the first year. I think it had over 1,000 people a day.
Oh, my. So. Did he design other buildings in Milwaukee?
He did. You've got the Boak Home up on Terrace, one of his prairie-style buildings. Uh-huh. Great shape. You know, it's just north of Columbia St. Mary's Hospital.
Yeah.
You've got Ollie Edelman's house up in Fox Point, which is more Usonian. It's more a little later period. And the one that's probably most available to the public is Annunciation Greek Orthodox Church up there on 92nd and Congress.
Right. I should mention for people who might not be familiar with the concept of this Doors Open is that we're basically featuring public buildings that public in the sense of that they might be a factory or something, but they're generally not somebody's home. You know, so a lot of historic tours take place in people's homes, and Historic Milwaukee does that, but at a different time of the year in our Spaces and Traces tours in the springtime. And so this is really an opportunity for people to get in some of these larger structures.
Mm-hmm. Like the Lakefront Brewery.
Breweries are always popular.
Like Great Lakes Distillery. So
that's another one. That's
I thought it was interesting. You can have, you know, not just Great Lakes Distillery and Lakefront Brewery and the Brenner Brewery,
a new one in Milwaukee, right?
But also the restored brew house at the Pabst.
The restored brew house at the Pabst, and then there's the Best Place pub and restaurant, which is part of the old Pabst. Also, where you can find out and get a little tour and see Colonel Pabst's original roll top desk. So, but the brew house Inn and Suites, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is part of the old Pabst complex, you know, which has been rejuvenated in the last 5 years, and that's a great new hotel for people to consider, as well as a place to eat. And they've restored and have the large copper kettles that were used for brewing right there in the hotel itself.
Oh, so and how's the hotel? I haven't been there either.
Boy, it just opened.
Did it really?
From the inside, I've only seen the lobby. It's a really nice adaptive reuse.
Yeah.
Very nice. We welcome phone calls. We're talking about the Doors Open event, which is this Saturday and Sunday in Milwaukee. And we're talking with George Wagner, who got this idea rolling 3 years ago. It's in its third year this year. He was a librarian at Central Library for a long time and has worked with Milwaukee. Well, who's the sponsor this year? Are you working with the
Historic Milwaukee Incorporated?
Do you work with them now?
No, I don't. I volunteer with them.
All right, so, he's a volunteer with Historic Milwaukee.
George volunteers a lot with Historic Milwaukee Inc.
So it's a nonprofit. So it's not the same. It's very easy. People get it confused with the Milwaukee County Historical Society. But this is a nonprofit that's interested in preservation and the built environment and educating people about Milwaukee's history and architecture.
Yeah, and John Gerda is also with us. He is a Milwaukee historian and writer and joins us from time to time. If you'd like to join the conversation, we're asking about your favorite buildings, if you have questions about the tour, if there are buildings that you love that you wonder if they're on the tour, if you have a historical question, feel free to call us 800-486-8655. Erica in Door County wants to know about ticketing and how to access the tours, guided, free, and ticketed. You mentioned it, but could you mention it once again?
Sure. So the most important thing is for people to know that there's 130 buildings that are open that you don't need any tickets for. There's about half a dozen tours that we're calling public tours that are going to be in places like Milwaukee City Hall, the Federal Courthouse, Jones Island, and those have to be picked up for the most part at Milwaukee City Hall the day of the tour. So, and you really have to look at the event guide in order to understand how some of this goes. There's about another 40 tours that are guided tours that are basically walks, and those are only available to Historic Milwaukee members. Now, you can become a member and get 4 free tickets for the tours that are remaining. However, those are only going to be available to Historic Milwaukee members at this point.
Okay. Are you leading any tours, John?
I am part of the tour of St. Joseph's Convent Chapel on the south side at the Franciscan Mother House. And it's a little bit off to the side. I'm giving a talk at 10 o'clock that I think they're charging $2 for. So it's not formally part of Doors Open, but leads off what will be the free public tours beginning at 11.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you mention that the chapel, a little bit about the chapel.
Yeah, the chapel's wonderful. It goes back to 1917, and it's especially, it's just got gorgeous acoustics. So it's great for concerts, especially choral music. But I think perhaps square inch per square inch, it may be the most painstakingly crafted religious space in Milwaukee.
Really?
Including St. Joseph's. And that is a glorious building. But it's a smaller space and maybe more finely detailed, all kinds of mosaic work, gilt work, stained glass, and painting as well. So it's just a really gorgeous space.
Mm-hmm. People wanted to know where it was in the paper last week, this booklet.
Right.
Where just people need it to be reminded. The booklet you can get.
Sure. It was in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on Sunday. It didn't go everywhere, but if you got the Journal Sentinel, you could check to see if you still have it. It would have been in the ad section of the paper.
So
it's
any
16-piece event guide. It's not really available prior to the event outside of that, unless you want to go online. There is a PDF capability. If you go to the beginning section of our website at doorsopenmilwaukee.org, you'll see something that'll say that you can download a PDF file, and I'll explain how to do it. Otherwise, all the information is there. You could also print out the website, but it's going to take up a lot more pages. But on the event days, like I said before, there will be event guides in almost all the locations.
Okay.
And if you don't have your own computer, just go to the library.
You can go to the
Central
Library.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and take the tour while you're there. And somebody emailed, will it be at City Hall on the day of?
Yes, we will have event guides at City Hall on the day of.
Okay.
And And City Hall will be available also for tours, for free tours on that day as well.
All right. Well, go through your paper because there's also a little bit of a history lesson with all of these places. So it's a good supplement to keep.
Yes, I think it is. And it's a very densely packed 16 pages with a tremendous amount of information. And to me, it's amazing because my eyesight isn't as good as it used to be. But the program manager, Amy Graw, informed me, yeah, this is 6.75 point type. So, and I look at it, and it's just like, oh, it actually looks rather clear. That's nice.
It does. I can see a whole lot of school papers coming out of this.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a chance to take a boat ride with some friends that and saw Milwaukee in a whole new light. That might be a fun thing to do at some point too with this, through all of the, you know, the various branches and seeing the new park from the water, and it was just, and to see the freeway and everything from under the water, it was just terrific.
And for doors open, the Dennis Sullivan.
Oh, that's right, the Dennis Sullivan
so
will be
you,
on.
So you can get
right.
on a recreation of the
great.
The age of Salem, Milwaukee, and the downtown bridges as well. I was on that 2 years ago, and they'll people raise and lower.
The bridge houses, which cross the Milwaukee River downtown,
nice.
There's three of them that are sites, actually, for historic Milwaukee. And it is quite amazing, you know, that people are interested in these little structures that help control the flow of the bridges. And
so what's inside those little buildings?
Pretty utilitarian.
Yeah,
pretty spare. But it was a lot of fun. We were there. I think we were on Wells. And someone said, when do you open it? I said, well, I'll open it right now.
That's
she raised the leaves and traffic stopped. It was fun.
I bet it was fun.
Some of the other interesting places that I want to mention that are new to the event this year are this Bridging the Gap Golf Learning Center, which is created by a former Marquette University basketball star, and it's basically to help teach golf to kids in the inner city.
I pass that all the time, that little
yeah.
place.
So that's a neat one. Another one that I think people would find very interesting is Brian's Cocktail Lounge, which is on the south side. And it's they claim that it's now the oldest cocktail lounge in Milwaukee from 1938.
Doesn't mean it serves the oldest cocktails.
Well, yeah, they have some that are still there that haven't been drunk. The Germania Building, which was the headquarters of the Brumder Publishing Company. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, they were probably the largest German language publishing house west of Berlin, or east of Berlin.
Goodness.
Anywhere outside of Germany. And the Brumder family published, newspapers, hymnals,
magazines
mm-hmm. of all sorts, mm-hmm. all in the German language, and very high-end printing. There's a collection up in the Rare Books room at UWM, and just some wonderful examples the printers are.
I don't know if you ever heard the story, and again, I can't vouch for this, but it's in one of our historic Milwaukee scripts, so it must be true. during World War I, when the United States entered in April of 1917, there was a lot of anti-German sentiment. And in Milwaukee, Congress passed a law that said that no one who had been born in Germany could work or could work within 500 feet of a navigable waterway.
Really?
So the Milwaukee River was considered a navigable waterway at the time. The Germania Building, where Brumder's publishing outfit was pretty close to the river. But he figured out, since he had a lot of German employees, that if they worked on the west side of the building, they'd be more than 500 feet away.
Oh, my gosh.
And they turned their backs. Something else they did during World War I is they had a statue of the goddess Germania, who looked over the front entrance, and she was hauled down unceremoniously and banished.
Oh, really?
Along with Saddam Hussein's statue.
Yeah, wow. it was hysterical. Not historical, but hysterical.
Wow. Yeah. And my favorite World War I story of the past couple of weeks, we interviewed a guy who wrote a great book on Woodrow Wilson. I've never known enough about him. Picture of 19 sheep on the White House lawn used to raise wool for the Red Cross. It's quite a picture. It really is.
Yeah. Those were very special scarves.
Yes, they were. More phone calls if you'd like to join us. We're talking about Doors Open. It's this weekend in Milwaukee, and we're speaking with people who had the inspiration to have this here, and Milwaukee historian about all of the buildings that are, well, not all of them. There are 130, more than that, so there are quite a few, but we're talking about the highlights of what's on the tour and how you can participate. Here's our number again, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Email talk at WPR.org, and our Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show. And this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. George Wagner and John Gerda are our guests. Are there things that I'm just totally overlooking, something that's new this year or something that's just not to be missed?
Perhaps one is up there on the north side on around 27th, just south of Capitol Drive, which is the old A.O. Smith Complex, which was
right.
at one time
oh.
among the largest employers in the entire state of Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
And that's being reborn as Century City, which is kind of mixed use, but it's a very large industrial redevelopment. And I believe the research tower is open.
Yes.
And that is a wonderful Art Deco building.
1930.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. It's a beautiful building, and the city is hoping to be able to get enough money to restore it properly. It's basically kind of in a holding pattern right now. But nevertheless, they have been able to save it, at least now. Another one that I guess I would suggest that people might want to take a look at in terms of new architecture is one of Milwaukee's newest skyscrapers, which is the 30-story Modern apartment building and condo, which is right in the downtown area on Juneau. Excuse me. This was done by local architects, the Rinka Chung Architects. It's done in what's called an Art Moderne style from the reminiscent of the 1930s, with the curved windows and things like that. But I think that's going to be a real nice tour. Another place that I would suggest that people might want to check out would be the Sherman Park Commons Senior Living Center, which is an old school. It was originally built in 1926 as a Peckham Junior High School. And then it became the Jackie Robinson School in 1975.
Sure.
And today has been reconverted now into 68 senior apartments.
Huh.
So,
and they filled up almost immediately.
Did they really?
Very popular.
Oh, that's
popular.
Interesting.
And you also have things that should receive more notice, like the Wisconsin Black Historical Society in a former library and fire hall up on 27th and Center. And Claiborne Benson has a really nice museum there, as well as a great collection of African-American historical materials. I think that deserves more exposure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you mentioned that. John, maybe you can just talk a little bit about the We Energies Public Service Building.
Yeah, down there at 231 West Michigan, and that was designed as the nerve center for what's now We Energies, but at one time was the Milwaukee Electric Railway and Light Company. And back then it was you had streetcars during the day and lighting at night, power during the day as well. So you had a around-the-clock load. And it's a wonderful building, and there's a very symbolic stained glass window above the front entrance, which is a hive of bees. this was the beehive, what's now We Energies. And something that when it's pointed out, you notice it, but this was it was a train terminal. This is where all the interurban trains in the Milwaukee area, and we at one time had a world-class system, one of the best in the Midwest. That's where they all converged. That's where they met.
Huh.
And later on, it was the bus station, but you have the big barn doors, which are now simulated. It's all offices behind there. But during a restoration, boy, back in the early 2000s, they put up the synthetic barn doors to at least replicate what it had been when it was a transit terminal.
Nice. Very nice.
Great old building.
Yeah. So let me just hear from both of you about your thoughts about Milwaukee. You've done history of this for a long, long time, and you obviously have a deep love for the city, too, George. When you look at it, when you compare it with other cities, when you look at what's unique about it, when you look at the number of people who stay here, and I don't know what the statistics are on this, but how many people who were born here just come back, is there a draw to this city? Take any of those questions.
I think that Milwaukee does some of the statistics that I've seen show that people stick around here longer than a lot of places. I mean, architecturally speaking, I think for different reasons, we have a better stock of some old buildings than a lot of other American cities. Mm. And part of that is because Milwaukee has had somewhat of a deserved reputation as being a bit behind the eight ball in terms of not catching the newest wave oftentimes. And so some of the buildings that were downtown, like after World War II, I think there was a desire, because not much had been built here in the downtown at all during the Great Depression and World War II. And really the first large-scale new building downtown that was built was not until 1960, when the Marine Bank, which is now Chase Tower, went up in 1960, the green glass building on the Milwaukee River. And so I think a lot of people felt that downtown was getting a little dowdy looking.
Right.
And wanted to, you know, wanted to make the city look more like Houston or something like that. And thank God it didn't happen. So it's like because of our because we were a little slower off the ball, it gave the preservation movement time to catch up and help save a lot of the buildings. Yeah. I mean, we lost some, like the Northwestern Depot or Plankington Mansion, but nevertheless, we were able to save a lot of the buildings, and a lot of those buildings are going to be open during the event this weekend.
Great.
I think in more general terms, Milwaukee has always had a really appealing blend of small-scale approachability. It's a very manageable streetscape, easy mm-hmm. to get around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've led bus tours of Milwaukee in rush hour, and you can actually see a good deal of the city. And at the same time, metropolitan attractions, from professional sports teams to really a world-class and now global diversity that you could only find in a larger place. So it has had for many years this nice sweet spot between large and small, and certainly faces economic challenges. You know, we have entrenched poverty that mm-hmm. I think is going to remain our most serious problem for years to come. But we still have, you know, that kind of that hybrid blend of the large scale and the human scale that makes this perhaps not unique, but certainly special.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And these events, these open doors events, how do we compare to other cities? Are other cities as successful as in a longer period of time as mm-hmm. we've been in a short time?
I think that we're in the ballpark along with the rest of them, that from what I've seen. I know that the total numbers that we have in terms of building visits certainly is, you know, when I compare it to other cities like Denver and Toronto, we're not as big as Toronto or New York City, you know, which does it. Chicago actually started one, too, the same year we started ours, but we were first. We beat Chicago by 3 weeks.
Good.
And we didn't even know that they were planning on it, you know, when we found out, oh, my goodness. But, yeah, that's a nice event, too. So 3 weeks are usually after ours. Chicago has their, they call theirs Open House Chicago.
So. And I think there's a sense of history here, you know, that you don't find in every American city. Places on the West Coast are so new, mm-hmm. you know, that an antique is something that dates from 1910.
Right. Yeah, right.
Of course, compared to Europe, we're quite new as well. But perhaps it's the range of ethnic groups who have made their homes here. Perhaps it's kind of this affection for the built environment that we have, as a people, grown to appreciate since the 1970s. You know, before then, as George said, it was pretty much up for grabs in the years after World War II. But I think there's a sense of place here and a sense of history that you don't find in mm-hmm. every other city of our age and size.
Yeah, I think you're right. And are there places, you've mentioned them perhaps briefly, that you've never been, George, that you're going to see this weekend?
That's a good question. I'm actually giving a couple of tours, so I won't have as much time to go around. And actually, the last 2 years since I was the project manager, I never left City Hall, basically. So I didn't get a chance to see many of these places. But yeah, there are some places that I am interested in checking out that I haven't been yet. I'm just taking a look at the list here quickly and seeing if I see any here. Well, the A.O. Smith headquarters, I think I would be very interested in seeing.
Have you seen the Chudnow Museum?
I have not, and I should go there too.
All right.
Something else I want to do is the tour of the Thurston Woods neighborhood,
sure,
which is up there north of North Milwaukee. Around
yes,
30
Henry Meyer's old neighborhood.
Yeah. What was his neighborhood?
It's called Thurston Woods. It's around 35th and Silver Spring.
Oh.
And I'm doing a book about neighborhoods, and I need to study that one so I can actually work up there.
When's that coming out?
Tomorrow.
Or rather
Saturday. Oh, the book's coming out in fall.
Oh, okay. Yep. Okay.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
No, I'm working on the book now. It should be out in fall of 2014. But right. The tour of Thurston Woods is this Saturday.
And one more quick Facebook question. If Ward's Theater is going to open for the public?
It will not be open. It is going to be part of the Soldiers Home Tour. It's going to be an outdoor tour that will walk past some of those historic buildings. But unfortunately, the theater is not in good enough shape that people can walk through it safely.
Okay. That's an interesting area, too.
Sure is.
Thank you both so much. It's just delightful always to see you, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Another event. It's good.
Our pleasure.
Thank
DoorsOpenMilwaukee.org is the place to go. Thanks to George Wagner and John Gerda for being with us for this delightful hour. To lovely people of Milwaukee. And thanks to KP Whaley and Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour. We'll be with you again tomorrow. I almost said 9 o'clock. 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. And I hope you'll be with us. Great conversations are ahead.